chapter number 13 today. I really have put this one off for a couple of weeks. One of the issues with preaching through a book is that you cover all kinds of topics without worrying about what you're going to preach on next, but then sometimes you get to a passage and you think, is that Sunday morning? But it's what we chose, what God has. And I have friends of mine, I feel like that they look through the news and they try to figure out what they're going to preach on. And honestly, I've seen that happen throughout the years. It's like they'll pick a topic and that's what they're going to go with. And as I was studying for this week, actually I've been studying for this for a couple weeks now, it seems like the news has fallen right in line with this passage. And if I were to title it, I would title it Danger Ahead. Danger Ahead. There's something coming over the horizon and we can sense it, we can see it. I don't know what's going to happen in our world, but I know this, that God's still in control. But everything is lined up right now for Jesus Christ to come back. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's read some verses this morning. Mark 13, beginning in verse number 14. Now remember, Jesus has pulled his disciples away. This is really the last long conversation they're going to have. With just a few short hours, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He's going to go through all of those events. But here he is. He's looking down on the city of Jerusalem, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he's walking them into future events. Well, these events were not just future for them. They're still future for us, but maybe not far away. Verse number 14, the Word of God says, "But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not." You know, everybody knows whenever something is out of place. He says, whenever you see this, take heed. Let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are a child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction. Here's a note. Watch the rest of this verse. For in those days shall be affliction. For such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created. You know, I see something right here that I just noticed this morning. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's sharing what's going on. He's walking them into future events. But note what he tells them. He says, I want you fellows to know something. I want you men to understand this. God is the creator. And all of creation may be in turmoil, and all of the world may be in turmoil, but God created this. God handles the affairs of men. Oftentimes we get so wrought up in what's happening, we wonder what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know who may happen next. And he says, I'm still the creator unto this time, neither shall be. And in verse 20, and except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders. Here's the key word, or key phrase, to seduce. We see the seduction of Christianity in our day and time. The seduction, the pulling away from the truths of the Word of God. He says there's still going to be that going on even during the tribulation period. If it were possible to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Verse 23, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. I said, I was studying this out and I thought, okay, Lord, this is a Sunday morning sermon. This is a Sunday morning crowd. They come in to the building today. I have all kinds of needs. We walk in. We come together. We want to fellowship together. We have a missionary family. What do you want me to say about this passage? Well, three things today. Three things. Number one is I want you to see with me a warning of a sign. Can I tell you something? The signs are all around. All around. How many of you have gotten caught up in the traffic around Trafalgar this last week? I never in my lifetime have I seen so much of a traffic jam in Trafalgar. There were like 11 cars in one line. And people at the back of it. Rah, 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 rah. I want to say this. I say this publicly. I need to give a shout out to the whoever is running those crews that are putting down the highway, that asphalt. They are one of the best crews that I have ever seen work. They have gone from Trafalgar to Bargersville, tore up the road, destroyed it completely, and put it almost all the way back down in about 3 weeks. I don't know about you, but they need to work on all of the roads in Indiana. Because there are some roads in Indiana that whenever I moved here 17 years ago, they were working on them. Guess what? They're still not finished with them. So I'm willing to put up with a little bit of a longer wait. By the way, I don't know who's running the stop and go signs on those, but their timers are really, really slow. I get frustrated. Not near as frustrated as Miss Tina does, but I get frustrated over that. And I think, oh, what am I going to do? I probably sat in one the other day. I timed it. And I sat there for 8 whole minutes. 8 minutes of my life I'll never get back. And I saw people trying to dart out of line and all of that. And I'm like, where are you going to go? It's a two-lane road with ditches on both sides of the road. You're not going anywhere. I left church yesterday. This has been going on now for 3 weeks. Every time I pull up to the red light by McDonald's, I have to wait. And I'm not used to waiting. I'm used to being the only car there. I pulled out on the road from church yesterday and headed that way. And you know what? A sign said, road work ahead. You know what I did? You ready? I ignored it. You know what another sign said? Construction ahead. You know what I did? I ignored it. Thank you. I rounded the corner, came over the hill coming into Trafalgar, which is one of the speed traps in Trafalgar, by the way. You don't ask me how I know, but by the way, it drops down to 45 right there, all right? And it means 45 there, not, you know, half a mile down. At least that's what it was explained to me. And I was like, but I was coasting. I started coasting when I came around the corner, and I'm sorry it was still 71 miles an hour, but I was slowing down, but I was going downhill. I was going a lot faster up the other side. I'm glad he wasn't looking there, but whatsoever thou doest, do us thou quickly. But I came over there, and guess what? I saw 11 cars in line, and I thought, man, I'm going to be number 12. I'm going to be here forever. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know what? I could have turned on Spearsville Road and went around, but I did not pay attention to the what? Signs. And we see all the things going on in our world today, recognize them as a warning of a sign. There are things that are happening. So what is it trying to tell us is going to happen? What is Jesus telling these men? Now, this is 2,000 years ago. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's telling them something that is at least 2,000 years in the future from when he was here. He's walking them into what we will call the tribulation period. Next great event. I was going to put a sign up on the screens, but I didn't want to add anything else to Tina's workload today, so you guys would just have to listen, okay? Next great event, it's going to be the rapture of the saints of God, and all God's people said. But right after that, within just a few short days, there's going to be some fellow that's going to step on the scene and say, I've got all the answers. And all the world's going to say, okay. And they're going to give that guy almost complete power. Oh, that's going to look pretty good at first. About halfway through, 3.5 years into the tribulation, this man's going to walk into the new rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. and he's going to proclaim himself as God. We're going to move. The world, we're not. We're going to watch all this from above. But the world is going to move from tribulation to what the Bible says, great tribulation. You say, well, what's the warning? You don't want to be here when that happens. And all God's people said, that's the warning. Construction! Bridge out! Danger! That's what Jesus is telling his men. There are two basic reasons for the tribulation period to happen. It's to punish the Gentile nations, those nations that for years have spurned the call of God, but during this time, God is going to pour out His judgment on them. But only for 7 years. You know why? Because the Bible says if He'd have done it any longer, there'd be nobody left. But two reasons. One is for all the Gentile nations that have turned their back on God, which the United States of America falls into that category today, unfortunately. But also, number two, to purge the nation of Israel. Israel today is a people group that are basically atheists and agnostics. And if you read the Old Testament, God worked in their lives in mighty ways. And we watch the things going on. We think, how could that happen? I don't know. How many of you have ever gone through a period in time in your life that you have drifted away from God? How many of you can say I've been there before? If we're honest, probably all of us would, unless you just got saved today. Any longer than that, you know, you've probably gone through a period of backsliding. That's why I have the nation of Israel. They've denied God. They've turned their back on them. And the entire tribulation period is going to last 7 years. But the last 3.5 is where Jesus begins to talk to his men about. And he begins to share with them some of the things that are going to happen. During this tribulation period, millions of people will be born again. Millions of people will be saved. But millions of people will die. There's a sign. There's a warning. I read and I look at the warning signs today. I remember whenever I was first saved, even when I was been saved for several years, my preacher was preaching through Revelation. It took him about 8 years, which is about what it's going to take us. Barb, I know that surprises you. We've been at it for a year and we're in chapter 4. See, our problem is the Sunday night crowd, they don't learn real fast, so I have to teach real slow. So, all right. I remember my preacher talking about the revelation where I was a young Christian. And he would talk about how great it would be to be taken out of here. And I remember as a young Christian thinking, I don't want to go yet. I've told you guys this before. I remember sitting and thinking that whenever I die, that I'm going to play a harp and float on a cloud. That's what heaven was to me. And I remember thinking, I don't want to go. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. But I wasn't too tickled about going to heaven because, number one, I don't care for floating around a cloud. And number two, I don't even know how to play a harp. So finally, I asked my preacher. My preacher was so compassionate and so kind to me. And so he said, Hobson, you're such a dummy. Just really just was, you know, encouraging me in the faith. And he said, you're such a dummy. Do you read your Bible at all? Are you even saved? And he started asking, and I'm like, what? And he said, let me read some verses to you. And he took me to these verses, and he said, it's not just going to be floating on a cloud. In fact, it's never going to be floating on a cloud or playing a harp. He said, imagine this world with no sin. He told me that about 30 years ago. I still haven't been able to imagine this world with no sin completely. But I don't know about you. It sure does sound pretty incredible to me. Can you imagine talking to someone? This is one of the things that really hits me. Could you imagine talking to someone and not having to wonder what they really meant? How many of you know what I'm saying? Why? Because there's no sin. What an amazing place heaven is going to be. But I'm going to tell you something. There are warning signs right now. The warning signs are twofold. To the one that's not saved, here's the warning. You must be born again. To the Christian, you must be busy in sharing the gospel. Because you and I have got friends, we've got loved ones, we've got neighbors, we've got co-workers. If they don't die in the initial part of this, it's going to be terror for them for years. A warning. For the Christian, let not your heart be troubled. I see trouble all around. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. No clouds, no harps. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, if you like playing a harp, you play it till your wit's end up there. And if you just want to float on a cloud, then you have at it. But I'm not one for sitting around too much. And I'm sure God will have something for us to do. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So I see, first of all, a sign of warning. Jesus tells them, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation, he says, don't waste time. I see the signs today. Road work ahead. Jesus is coming soon. Don't delay. How many in the room today, how many of you have someone you know that you've rubbed elbows with in the last week? You either think or you know they're unsaved. How many of you have somebody like that? You know? You say, well, I haven't gotten out too much. I'm still practicing social distance. And well, you probably know some people on Facebook. You know what the warning sign is? Don't wait. Don't wait. It doesn't matter how old they are. Life is precious. And it's just a vapor. And they could be gone before we know it. Look at the signs, but don't just say, So what I did yesterday, I'm driving down the road, road work. Whatever, they're always working on the road somewhere. One lane road ahead. Wonder what that means. Can I tell you? It means one lane road ahead. Number two. Yeah, that was it. It's like, okay, there I am, sitting there. I'm thinking, what do I do now? Sitting in traffic. I think I'll check my email. Guess what? I'm in my car. Guess what? My phone says you can't look at it while you're driving. I'm thinking, I'm not driving. I'm sitting. Why did I disobey the warning signs? Number two. Jesus says whenever you disobey the warning signs, there will be a warning of sorrows. Follow along with me in verse number 19. It says, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created. How many have ever said this before? It can't get any worse. How many have had that? How many have ever gone through something? You thought, oh, it can't get any worse. You know what the Bible's saying? We ain't seen nothing yet. Let's go back to the warning. If you're not saved, today is the day to be saved. If you are saved, today is the day to make a pact with God that you're going to be the witness that you need to be. He says there are sorrows, there's affliction. Affliction here means a state of pain, distress, and grief. During this time period, God's going to pour out His judgment on this world. And if you go through the book of Revelation, which we're going through on Sunday nights, it's So just look and you'll see that there are trumpet judgments and there are vile judgments. And those judgments are an attack on the creation. It's an attack on sin, an attack on the devil. In the first trumpet, a third of the green vegetation on the earth is completely destroyed. The second trumpet, a third of the oceans become blood. And a third of the life in the sea is destroyed. The third of the world's shipping is destroyed. The third trumpet, there's a meteor that hits and pollutes a third of the water in the world. Can I tell you something? There's going to be sorrows. Then the fourth trumpet, sunlight is diminished by one third. Can you imagine the catastrophe that happened? After the fourth trumpet, an angel flies through heaven and pronounces three more woes. And the fifth trumpet, the earth is invaded by what many think is an army of demons. And they're able to torment men for 5 months. Men will seek to kill themselves and they can't. The pain will be so bad. You have the sixth trumpet and you have an army that measures over 200 million. Up to this point, almost half of the population of the world has been destroyed. I had a man tell me years ago as I was witnessing to him. He said, well, you know, I'll just wait until I see all the signs happen and then I'll trust Jesus. I remember telling him as a young Christian, I told him, I said, I'm not sure, but I think it'll be too late then. I'm an older Christian now. I'm not completely sure, but I'm a little bit more sure than I used to be. It'll be too late then. Because not only will all these things happen, but people will be given strong delusion. And they'll believe a lie. You say, oh, that'll never happen. Mask will protect you. Never mind, we won't go down that road. Then you have the vile judgment. So it just gets progressively worse. That's the reason why God shortens it. You know what He says? Here's our sign. You know what our sign is right now today? Israel's under attack. How many of you found it troubling that Egypt ran to their aid and we didn't? I find that troubling. How would you like to live in Israel? How many of you think they find it troubling? That's a sign. Sorrows. I don't know if I've ever lived during a time when I've seen as many sorrows as I see right now. I see parents heartbroken. Children heartbroken. I see grandparents heartbroken. Sorrows. There are sorrows in our world today. We've seen the devil reach into our families and destroy. Number three, the devil loves to seduce people. Verse 21, the Bible says, and then, after all of this, and then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or here's the Savior, here's the answer. Or lo, He is there. Jesus says, believe Him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The deception will be so strong that even the elect, the believers, would be deceived if that were a possibility. See, whenever the bottom falls out of this world, people are willing to latch on to anything. We've just had a test run of that. last 18 months. Not just here in America, but around the world. Jesus is telling us that things will increase, that these things will increase. We'll see more false prophets, more hope. Government is your hope. This is your hope. This is your hope. I've never seen so many Christians live in fear of dying and going to heaven. I'm afraid. The sad truth is many in our own day are being led astray by false prophets. You guys are going to a nation where they're atheists and agnostics. Maybe not the organized religion, but Satan is organized there. And he seduced people into believing something. He seduced them here in our day and time. Every time I go by the Jehovah's Witness building over in Franklin, there are 30 or 40 cars there throughout the week. You know what those people are doing? Earning their way to heaven. You know what they're being told? If you're good enough, God will accept you. Work hard. Try better. And that appeals. Many are gaining acceptance because they preach a message of acceptance and offer people false hope. Oh, you can come to Jesus and still hang on to that. No, my friend, when you come to Jesus, you don't hang on to anything. You may not be entirely able to let go of it all, but you must be entirely willing to let go of it all. Amen? That's the difference. Man cannot do good. Nor can he be good because he's a depraved sinner. Let's read the passage again and I'll close today. It says, "But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet," there's coming a day where a man, by the what the Bible calls him, the Antichrist, will stand in that temple and he'll proclaim to be God. He says, "Whenever it standeth where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." He says, if you're still here, you've run. "Let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment." You know what he's saying? Don't waste time. Christians, let's not be guilty of sitting idly by while the world dies and goes to hell. I have some friends that if Jesus comes soon enough, I have friends. That'll go through this time. May our hearts break for them. Verse 17, "But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days." He said, "Oh, it's fearful if you're a mother at that time. Pray that your flight be not in winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created. Unto this time neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he has shortened the days." But we see the signs. We hear the sorrows. We see even the early rise of the seduction. "Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Here's the last thought today. "But take heed." What am I to take heed of? The Word of God. Maybe it's time for Christians to get back to the point where we're praying, we're serving, and we're witnessing. These events are coming. Everybody's so focused on what's going to happen, and we forget what we're supposed to be doing now. take heed. We have a missionary couple with us that are going to Uruguay. You know what they did a while back? They took heed. They said, it's important that we give our lives, the rest of our lives, to serve God. To take our family to a foreign culture, to a foreign field. Why? Because there are people there that need Jesus. We have a church on every corner here, practically. But there are still people that need Jesus. And you and I know them. Let's pull back a little bit and say, you know what, I'm not going to get caught up in all of that. When Jesus comes, I'm going with Him. But until then, I'm going to work for Him. I read these passages of Scripture and here's what I see. Suffering. Sorrow. And this is nothing compared to eternity in hell. Friend of mine, can we wake up today and ask God to help us serve Him with the rest of our lives? Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Strange Sunday morning message.